Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
Okay, the phone-in is coming up in a couple of minutes' time. You can call us 240666. We want to talk about that MP that sent a picture of himself, his manhood, we think, to an undercover reporter. We're also talking about the 10 things that will make you happy. And I've got a clip that will take you back to your childhood days. And you'll probably remember the clip, but it maybe should get some explaining at the beginning. Okay, so what I will say is that Zippy and George are basically trying to peel a banana. If this doesn't make you laugh and make you chuckle, nothing will. It's the funniest thing ever. And you've got to ask yourself, would you let your kids watch Rainbow? Well, we did.
Rainbow. One skin. Two skin. Three skin.
Oh, Zippy.
Oh, hello. We're going to talk about playing today.
Playing with each other, Jeffrey?
Yes, Bungle. Tell me, have you got a special friend that you like to play with?
Jeffrey, yesterday we played with our balls, didn't we? Are we going to play with our friends' balls today?
Yes, and we could play with our twangers as well. Have you seen Bungle's twanger?
Yeah. Oh, I have, yeah. I showed him how to pluck with it, yeah.
Yes, there's my plucking instrument. Can you pluck, like Bungle?
Yeah, I can. I'm the best plucker here.
Oh. Let's get back to Bungle's twanger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jeffrey, we could all paint our twangers, couldn't we?
Well, not now, Bungle. It's nearly time for us all to go.
Oh, well, that's just been.
I know. Let's sing that plucking song again.
Oh, yes, and then Rod and Roger could get their instruments out. And Jane's got two lovely maracas.
Oh, what a smashing idea.
Jane, Rod, Roger.
Hello, fun. We could hear you all banging away. Banging can be fun.
Yes, and I was banging away all last night with Rod and Roger.
Yes, but it broke my plucking instrument. Oh, well, never mind, Roger. Look, we're all going to sing the plucking song. But come on, everybody, get your instruments out.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to blow my pipe while I'm twanging away?
Oh, no, Rod. I was blowing a lot with Roger last night. But would you like to play my maracas?
No, let's just pluck away with our twangers, yeah.
Yes, it doesn't matter what size your twanger is.
I've got a big red one, yeah.
No, I've only got a tiny twanger, but it works well. I like to play with it.
Well, have you got your twangers out? And remember, you can bounce your balls at the same time if you like. Or if you haven't got any balls, you could ask a friend if you can play with his. Right, come on then, let's all sing the plucking song.
Right, are we all ready? One, two, three, pluck.
Pluck, pluck, pluck away, we're going to pluck all day today. Pluck, pluck, pluck away, we're going to pluck all day.
It's time for us all to go now, but don't forget to get your twangers out and play with your balls. But see you soon. Bye.
Oh, do you know what? Completely innocent.
Oh, gosh, yes, it's the way you take it, really, isn't it?
Off the back of a conversation we were having, and we were talking about the programme Captain Pugwash.
Yeah.
And how children's programmes back then were so... They could have been taken one way or
yeah,
the other.
You're right.
And
yeah.
I think it was... there was some... My wife said something about some particular programme that was set somewhere... that was set in a place where they used to grow marijuana. But it was something like Pogel's Wood or something like that.
Mm.
And obviously Captain Pugwash had the Roger the Cabin Boy and Seaman Staines as well. and we would watch this as a kid and not think anything of it. And there we were. I must have missed that when I was watching Rainbow as a child. I mean, I used to love Bungo and Zippy, and I missed them talking about their twangers.
Yeah, so did I.
I mean, but how funny is that? And it's only a mucky mind that can turn it around.
It is, really.
Anyway, you've got 10 things to make people happy.
10 reasons to be cheerful.
Ten reasons to be cheerful.
Yeah, right. Number one, good weather.
Good weather.
That really makes us cheerful, doesn't it?
Yes, it
makes
does.
Makes a lot of difference.
But you know what? There's a woman that lives around our way. I remember a couple of years ago, we were walking, and we walked together, not together, towards each other. I was going down the town, she was obviously going home. Mm. And I said, "Oh, good morning, lovely day." And you think, "Oh, no, I hate all this sunshine. I love the rain."
Oh, for goodness sake.
Miserable old boot.
Oh, yeah, so would I.
Go on.
Right, getting something for free.
Something for free.
We all like that, don't
we?
We all
love a freebie.
Yeah, if we take the trolley around the supermarket, we think, oh dear, we didn't put that on the counter, but never mind.
Yeah. That's shoplifting, Sherry.
Well, only a tiny thing, you know.
Still shoplifting, isn't it?
An unexpected compliment. We all like compliments, don't we?
No, I don't.
Oh yeah, you must
no,
do.
No, I don't. I don't.
Well, you're weird then.
I listen to the people that tell me that I'm rubbish rather than the people that tell me I'm lovely because, you know, that's me. That's just the way
I am. Have you never had compliments then?
Yeah, I've had
compliments. Doesn't your mum give you nice compliments?
No, you were the last week when she came round.
I know.
Called me all the names under the sun,
didn't
she?
She did.
Called me a fat bloke, didn't she?
She did.
Oh, he's always been a fat. And
me, I was fat as well. I was a big lady, wasn't I?
Did she say that?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
Oh, he's useless, he is. I'll tell you what she reminds me of. She reminds me of Albert Steptoe.
Yeah.
That's how she sounds.
Yeah.
I was trying to teach her something on the... Because she was thinking about getting a tablet,
okay? Oh, dear.
And I think she's 81 years old. She hasn't got the... She just doesn't have a clue about certain things. And
no.
I think it's really sad that the way things are now...
I know.
We've kind of alienated a certain... Well, people in this country, it's really, really sad, and she's one of them.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Oh, she says, you're useless at teaching me. That's what she comes... She is. She's just like Albert Steptoe. We're going to get her in on the show one of these days just to prove it, and we'll play her on with... Dun, dun, da, da,
and you, dun, and you dun, want me to dun, go and play Scrabble with her?
Well, I tried cheekily, because I knew you were getting a bit of a torrid time from her, and I said, oh, my mum really likes Scrabble, Shirley, so do you. Why don't you go up and play with her a couple of... couple of times a week.
Anyway, I don't know whether you like this one or not. Receiving a hug from a loved one.
Yeah, receiving a love from a hug one, yeah.
A love from a hug one.
Yeah,
did you say?
A love from a hug one.
Yeah. Seeing a good friend unexpectedly.
I don't have any good friends.
No, I know, and that's what I thought, actually.
No, that's a lie, because it's lovely. Lovely to see new friends.
Finding money in your pocket.
I ain't got any money.
In
There's
a bag
no
or on the floor. No, on the floor or in a bag or on the floor.
I found 20p last night. And
yeah,
I'm saving
you find it on the floor. You hang on to it,
another
mate.
80p and I can go to the pound shop. Treat yourself.
Finding out good news about a loved one.
Finding out good news about a loved one? Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah.
I had a phone call from my son yesterday. And
I
that
know,
was nice.
That was lovely, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
Seeing a member of your family unexpectedly.
No, we always do that thing. Yeah, right-hand side. Just go left, go left, go left. Don't say anything. Just move.
I know, isn't it awful?
He hadn't seen us. Come on.
I think we all do it.
Yeah.
Mm, there's always somebody in the family.
Yeah.
Receiving a small gift, etc. Flowers. Well,
okay.
Well, would you like some flowers, Ian? Not really.
No, not really.
You're not a flowery person,
no,
are you?
No, don't buy me flowers.
Receiving help from a stranger.
It's really odd. Last week, when you came round to dinner last week... And your old man brought a bottle of wine.
I know, dear.
I'm thinking we got 30 litres we've just made.
Yeah, we bought posh wine. Did you notice he took it back with him?
He did take it back with him, yeah.
I said to him when we got home, I said, that's a bit cheeky, Mick.
Well, I told him to.
Oh, did you?
So we got our own. We got 30 litres of that.
And he did enjoy it.
Good
said
on
it's nice, yeah. Did you see? I daren't try any.
No. I gave my mum a little bottle as well. Maybe that'll sweeten her up a bit.
Oh.
All right, have you done?
Yeah,
have you done
thank
right?
you.
Okay, then, over the weekend, or last week, there was this MP, wasn't there? What do you think? What do you think on what are your thoughts on
it's,
that?
It's difficult, because I don't believe in doing this. Mind you, then again, entrapment is called, isn't it?
It when is,
you're,
yeah.
You're caught. Yeah. I think they do it with footballers and bribes and things like that, don't they? We have seen over the years.
Yeah.
But they've actually filmed it.
Was newspaper that accused sex shame minister guilty of entrapment? Tory MP makes formal complaint as one of the women whose photo helped to snare Brooks Newmark defends his behaviour. Sophie Whittams was an online alter ego used by a reporter for the Sunday Mirror. He used her persona to tempt the interest of a number of Tory MPs. So he's not the only one that was that could have been tempted. Women whose pictures were used to say they were unhappy at being involved. Lawyers questioned whether sting could be justified in public interest. One said, "I think members of the public will consider it amounts to entrapment." And there's a picture of the said lady, and there's another picture of the picture that they sent to this person. You've not actually seen it. Basically, she's obviously sat in a garden, and she's got next to nothing on, and she's got a pair of shorts that are rolled up, rolled down, only covering certain bits.
Yeah.
But it's kind of sexy, I must admit. It's kind of sexy. And this picture was used to reel this guy in. And they did. They got him. Is it entrapment? Should he be setting a better example? I mean, you know, he's an MP.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what they're also doing is misleading you as well. And we're trying to find out the absolute truth to this, because it's very strange that on a certain website you can see that he's divorced.
Yeah.
He's 48 years old.
Yeah.
He's divorced.
Yeah.
And he got divorced last year, 2013.
Yeah.
But elsewhere they're actually saying that he's married.
He's married with five children.
With five children. Now,
yeah.
Now,
yeah.
It does matter whether he is married or not, because I think, okay, if you are an MP, I think first and foremost you've got to act accordingly.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
is it worse if you're married, because you know you've done the dirty on your and plus you've got five kids as well? But if he's a single man,
yeah,
I look at it slightly differently.
He's got a life of his own, hasn't
absolutely
he?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we
absolutely
don't really know the facts, do we? I mean,
and those people that are, I mean, we know there's a lot of people out there that, because of the technology and the way it is, yes, you
yes
can have a whoops quick picture of your bum cheeks, whatever,
yeah,
and you can send it off to someone.
Mm.
Now, I think most blokes have done that at some point.
Have you, Ian?
I know I have.
And no one's done it to me.
And well, you haven't lived. I'll tell you what, Shell, I've got your number. I'll send one round. But honestly, you look at all these other things as well that are going on, where these celebrities are getting their naked pictures stolen off the internet.
That's right, they
ask the question, why have you had them taken in the first place?
Yeah.
You know, and then they've put them somewhere supposedly that is safe.
Mm.
Nothing is safe these days.
Did you say that she's actually done it to more people as well, other MPs?
Apparently so.
Well, I bet she has, yeah.
Apparently so. This is...
And it's all for money, I expect, and oh, I don't know.
A Tory MP plans to make a formal complaint over allegations of entrapment against a newspaper that forced Brooks Newmark to resign as a minister for sending an explicit photograph of himself. Mark Pritchard said the story could be a test case for the press, the new press regulator, the Independent Press Standards Organisation.
Mm.
Now, the phone is ringing and we've got to move a load of stuff so I can actually push the button down. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian.
Hello, Keith, how are you?
Hello,
I'm all right, mate, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hello.
I hear you had a bit of a rough weekend, didn't you?
Me?
Yeah, it was regarding a meal.
Oh, yes. That was last weekend, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
Pardon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah, and you say that the actual landlord's changed hands?
Yes. The week after, he'd only moved in a week before, and everything was different.
Ah, has the actual owner of the pub...
He was the owner.
Oh, right, he's not on contract to...
No, he's the owner. A lady and man took it over, the husband and wife. I think the husband and wife.
When you say take it over, have they actually bought the pub themselves?
Oh, dear. I don't know, Keith.
I bet they've... Yeah, I think what Keith's getting at... I'll let you say what you're getting at, Keith. I think it comes down to their, you know, them just taking it over, working for a company. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this pub successful or not?
It was.
It was successful.
Very, very successful. Always packed out.
Is it in a prime position?
I'll tell you where it is. It's at the top of Carisbrook.
Top of Carisbrook.
And it was always packed out, Keith.
Is that the castle?
No, no, no. That's down in town. That's just changed hands as well.
Oh, right.
No.
Okay, no. All right, we won't name them, but...
No, but this pub was always packed with locals. always.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think, you know, I've seen it happen over here. What it is, you get people like Punch Taverns, or you get like Wetherspoons, the owners of the actual...
Yeah.
Content, and if they want to shut a pub down to put more trade into another pub,
yeah,
the sort of thing they do.
Yeah. No, I think they've actually... I've brought this one, I think. I'm sure they have. They're actually living above it.
Yeah, that don't mean nothing.
No.
Sure, right? So if they've gone in under contract, under the... how could I put it? The... well, say the owner of the pub is Punch Taverns.
Right.
Because they're the biggest... They're the biggest pub in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
That are doing this sort of thing. Because Punch Taverns normally sell their properties back to Tesco after the place is shut down.
I'm with you.
It's a big conglomerate.
Yes,
you know
I'm with
mean.
You. I'm with you. Yeah.
You know, Tesco's approached them and said, "Oh, we'll give you this if you shut that one down. We want to buy that," and that sort of thing.
But it's strange they got rid of the staff and they're going to run it themselves, the family.
Well, no, not at all.
You know?
It's not, you know, if someone goes in there like that to do that, that's what they do. They just put a whole new caboose of people in there.
Yeah.
They're right, wind it down.
No. Well, we'll have to watch this space, won't we?
Right, like, so it might be totally innocent. Like I say, you know, what I'm saying is I've seen it happen over here. And,
it
could be happening over there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't he have the same problem with the pub in Benbridge?
Which pub was that? The
I remember a couple of years ago that it changed hands, and then he stopped everybody that was picking up kids from the school from parking in the car park.
I don't remember that. But, I mean, there's that pub in Lake, isn't there, that's been taken over now. It's going to be a Tesco,
you know,
isn't it?
That was wound down, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a lovely pub, that one, yeah.
Yeah, but it makes you wonder why. But,
yeah,
you know,
that's true.
It's just a shot in the dark there, but...
Yeah.
They might be totally innocent. Like I said, they've gone in there, you know, sort of blinkered, not knowing what they're doing.
Yeah.
Changed their supplier of food and whatnot, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
because I will say it, most of Wetherspoons, et cetera, the food is not prepared from scratch. It comes from people like Booker's and whatnot and Nerd and Peacock.
Yeah.
And some of it is pre-cooked and it's just banged in a microwave.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. But, before it was lovely. It was all home-cooked food. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens up there.
Yeah, watch this space.
Yeah, definitely.
How are you, Ian, anyway?
Oh, I'm fine, Keith. Yeah. How about you?
Well, I'm a bit cheesed off with this blinking sorties about the RAF tornadoes going in and not doing anything and coming back.
That's right, they did, yeah.
You know, to me it's like a turkey shoot. They're just going in and say, oh, well, if you see anything that looks slightly like what we might need to hit, we'll hit it. But, you know, it's like I said, it's just like a pheasant shoot or a turkey shoot. You stand there waiting for something to come over and bang.
This is what they're going into Iraq and they're...
Yeah.
And they're coming back again.
So we're absolutely clear.
Yeah.
So they've gone into Iraq and they've fired? Have they fired?
No.
I don't know. That's what I mean. No one seems to know what's going on. Ask yourself this,
because I really do feel strongly about this. Should we know any of this?
I don't think we should.
There's a certain amount that we should know really is that, yes, okay, MPs have voted on strikes.
Mm.
Yeah.
I really detested the way that BBC, Sky and ITV were using the term the MPs are voting on whether they are going to bomb Iraq or not. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute.
They're treating it just as if it's a Eurovision Song Contest.
Used the term of, you know, it was a football match.
Yeah.
And it really annoyed me to the point where, you really wanted to phone up, you really wanted to make a serious complaint, because I just think that, you know, this is the pinnacle of the supposedly, it always used to be anyway, of our media, and surely to God, it's so incredibly hard to get into the BBC, because you've got to have, you know, a good knowledge of the English language. And I'm thinking, and you come out with that term, whether or not we're going to bomb Iraq.
Mm. Well, something else I hate, Ian, as well. Mm. Right? The phrase, there are no boots going on the ground. No, it's not. It's the phrase you use is, we are not invading. There's none of this soft, blinking, you know, puppy talk.
Mm.
Oh, there will be no boots on the ground.
Yeah.
Where the hell did that phrase come from?
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Does that mean they're going to go in with trainers on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just...
It just leaves itself wide open. It really does.
It does, mate.
I really detested the way that they covered that story, and I still look at it now and I think you've got absolutely no respect for any life that is just about to be lost here, whether it be bad or good.
I'll tell you what, Ian, it's about the first thing that goes wrong, the first target that gets hit, which is the civilians, we'll get the blame.
Well, I think because I'm kind of watching it for, you know, I'm watching it because I have an interest in it.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to go into too much detail, but you look at it and you think, yeah, okay, it's kind of, I'm kind of looking at the situation with the other countries that are coming in with us, the other Islamic countries that are supporting us and we're supporting them, and. You know, for the first time in, I don't remember in my lifetime. Well, actually, yeah, no, that's it's nice to know that there is support from other Islamic countries. It's like other people that now that are part of, you know, their religion is this. Some of them are actually coming out now and speaking quite firmly and saying these people are nothing at all to do with us.
Yeah.
which is a good thing to be able to hear. It's taken a bit of a while, but. I also think that, well, they're only telling you, the media are only telling you that when they need to tell you or when they want to tell you.
Exactly.
You know, I would imagine there's people that have been part of Islam and so on and so forth that have been outspoken for a while and saying that they don't like the way that all this hatred for the Western world is coming about. But it's just that they don't want to print that. They don't want to put that on the television because they'd much rather you be led to believe that, oh no, they're all the same, because that is newsworthy to them and it would create more newsworthy stories. And I just think it's all wrong. We need some blimmin' honesty, to be quite honest.
Another worrying thing is, Ian, the terrorism or the terrorists, you cannot pinpoint one location. Mm. They're everywhere.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If they go in there and say, annihilate that, where are they going to spring up next? You can't control it, Ian. It's like a wildfire. You know, once you put one bit out, it flares up somewhere else.
Do you know? It's a debate, and it's kind of interesting is the wrong term because I wish we weren't having this debate because I think a lot of this could have been avoided a long time ago. Now there was a young man that was commenting on my Facebook over the weekend, and he really is only a young man. He's 15, 16, and I kind of got what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I kind of had the same discussion with my mum last week. Now. You know, it was kind of a heated debate on the way home in the car, and I was saying to my mum, I said, look, I don't really understand why we're fighting so much and why this is escalated. Mm. And if you go back to obviously 9/11, that was an atrocity, and the Americans and the English have retaliated. If you go back to, I think it was it Kuwait? We invaded. It was Iraq invaded Kuwait,
yeah.
And we went to Kuwait.
That's right.
Aid.
That's right. We did.
That was the early 90s, wasn't it?
Had we not poked our nose in, that wouldn't have escalated from that day forward. Yes, we've always had issues, but those issues were kind of made a hell of a lot bigger after Kuwait in 1990, 1991. Now, I'm not saying what we did was wrong. All right, we don't know all of the facts, and that's the problem with our media. They only let you know certain things. And what I am saying is now, we should have a blackout, a complete blackout.
Yeah.
You know, and people that are deciding our futures, they should really be the only ones that know for the time being. But going back to 1991, sorry, just cut across
that's
you.
Right.
Just
no, go on, mate. No, go on.
Going back to 1991, we're all blaming ourselves, and you know that the previous government are blaming. Oh, it was so and so's fault. A lot of people are blaming Tony Blair, and I say, well, hang on a minute. Go back to 1991. Who was in charge? I think it was the Tories. I think it was John Major. Maybe I don't think it was Margaret Thatcher. I think she was kicked out by then.
In the latter years, then. Like,
but you just think, no. It's almost like nobody's responsible enough to take responsibility for the blame, because we can't just go back to 9/11. You know, that happened. That was a retaliation from them for what happened to them, possibly, you know, in years previous to that.
Yeah.
Obviously, 1991 springs to mind. I just think this young lad, I've got to read these quotes out because I thought to myself, I've got to find them first. But what was you going to say?
What it was basically is, should they keep it quiet as well about what's happening in China?
Yeah, I saw that this morning.
You know, it's going to, no matter where you look in the world at the moment, there is a lot of turmoil, there's a lot of hatred, and there's a lot of angst. I just don't know where it's going to go from there, mate. I don't, honestly.
Well, it's everywhere you look at the moment.
Yeah.
And somebody said over the weekend that they had this picture, this poster. Now, I think that, I don't know what you think, Shirley, I don't know what you think, Keith, but when they had the vote over the weekend or on Friday, whether they were going to vote on airstrikes or action, that's what they could have, not bombing, we're going to vote on whether we bomb Iraq or not. We could have put it better, but they had a vote on it, and I kind of, from the knowledge that we know, from what we've known and on the television and we've read, you know, you look at it and think, well, they've got to do something.
Something's got to be done.
I agree with that. I'm not quite sure, you know, whether or not what they're going to do is going to be the right thing. But like somebody pointed out, here, hang on a minute, you can't afford to clothe and feed the poor, but you can afford a war.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like yesterday, you know, going off. I don't know whether you saw that little video I put on my Facebook page, what I called Defender of the Faith.
Yeah.
Mm.
Did you actually see that?
I saw, I did see it.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to go into it too deeply. It's just that I, you know, in my religion, like I said, I'm a Christian, and, you know, I was baptised, I was confirmed, I got married under the Christian law, I went to Sunday school, you know, I'm not a devout Christian, you know, I don't stand on the corner of the street shouting about it, can I talk to you about Jesus?
Mm.
But the service I went to yesterday, I was absolutely lost. I didn't know any of the hymns, and I didn't know, I called it the chanting bit, but where they renounce and repeat. I was completely lost, Ian. Yet I consider myself a Christian. So, you know, where do I stand in my religion? You know, like I said, I brought the kids up, I've had them christened, you know, that sort of thing, and followed the Christian path.
I'm a great believer, Keith, and if you're Christian in your head and you're Christian-like in Christian ways, you don't have to go to church.
You don't.
You don't have to go to church.
No, I don't think you have to, no.
Well, but hands up, mate. You know, I was only there yesterday due to the fact that it's a weekend where we remember some lost ones in the family and close friends. And we was at the church. But even my mother said, I've never known a service like that.
No, I said, it's all changed.
Hands up, I shall be going next week. You know, it's a great shame. But like I say, you get the other religions where they actually preach it and they actually throw themselves into that religion.
Yeah.
That's the way they've been brought up.
Yeah.
You know, I was brought up to be good, went to Sunday school, that sort of thing.
That's right. I think we all were, Keith.
Well, I wouldn't harm a fly.
That's right. I think our generation, we all went to Sunday school, didn't we?
Yeah. You know, regarding the terrorist activity, you can't call those men religious. They're just fanatics.
Not at all. No.
Is that right, Ian?
Yeah.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And what I do like is that you know, other Islamic states now are coming out and saying, you know, we're supporting the strikes.
Well, we've all been too fond of pointing the finger and saying it's their fault, it's their religion that's caused this. But I don't think we can. It's just the fact of terrorism.
Yeah.
You know, we had it in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. I think terrorism has been going on for centuries, Ian.
Yeah.
Oh, crikey, Keith. Yeah, you're absolutely right. When you go back in... I remember putting lots of stuff together for a golden hour and finding out all this information from various years. You're talking about 1973 or something like that, and you think there's still the same sorts of things going on. Somebody said, we're living in, you know, bad times. I mean, back in 1973, we had lack of electricity. We had the strikes. And now they're still saying, we're going to have a lack of electricity very, very soon. I mean, it just comes around.
I'll tell you something, Alfie, Ian. On Saturday afternoon, I actually sat down and watched the last hour of the film Oliver Cromwell, which was made, I think it was 1968. And we had that as a... we went out on a field trip and had that as a history experience. We went and watched the film in the theatre. And I sat there and I watched what was going on in their parliament on the film, which was set in Oliver Cromwell's time. And I thought, they're baying and howling at each other. You could be watching, you know, Prime Minister's question time.
Yeah.
That's the day. You know, it's ridiculous.
I've got to admit, Whenever I did tune in for when they voted on Friday.
Yeah.
Because normally when they do a vote, they say, and to the right and to the left. There's a cheer. But there was no such cheer. Mm. It's a difficult decision.
It is.
But I say, how much do we actually know? How much of this is real? I mean, I sat there on Tuesday night last week,
and
they went into great detail on how these planes were going to go across, like what they had on the planes and how they were going to do it. And I'm thinking, why don't you just send them a message to say this is what's going to happen?
I don't think this should be announced.
It should be a media blackout.
That's right, of course.
An absolute media blackout.
Yeah.
Hey, look, Keith.
Yes, mate, sorry to hog all the lines.
That's all right, not a problem.
Change the subject, but it's just something I felt we should talk about.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call.
All right, then.
Yeah, cheers, Keith.
Bye. See you. Bye. Okay, hi, who's this?
It's Mark.
Mark from France?
Yeah. Is Keith still there, Ian?
No, he's not, mate. No, he's gone.
Ah, right. Well, the one thing you got to do with this mob is wake up.
What mob?
The Islamic mob.
Right, okay, just so we're clear.
They're evil. These people are just pure evil. And you can't beat them. And the only way you're going to beat them is to get rid of them. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. Now, you've got all them different tribes over there. They got to try and get them tribes together to fight together. Then, when our boys go over there, back them up. You got the Kurds. You had Saddam bombing and killing thousands of them. And this lot are twice as worse. And it's as simple as that. I put something on Keith's Facebook the other day, and I've been kicked off of it. Because of my views, because what I put on there. Yet the Muslims can put their views. It's about time people woke up over there.
I think also...
And you're dead right, Ian. It should be a total blackout on what the RAF are doing and everyone else over there.
Yeah.
We should not know what's going on over there.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
I cringe whenever I hear it on the television. And they even showed you photographs of these planes and what was underneath their wings and everything else. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Why don't you just send them a message? We'll be there about 7:30, all right?
Mm. Shouldn't be known.
It's absolutely...
Now, you got that guy over there on Sky News. Now, he could actually see the ISIS mob across... I don't know whether you see it. Across this canal.
Right.
You had the Peshmerga one side, Stuart Ramsey's name, you had the Peshmerga one side and ISIS the other. You could see the spotters, you could see them building up their defences and everything. There.
Well,
so that's right on the nose. Right, so if he's there on the nose, why ain't he getting on the phone to the Ministry of Defence saying, come and bomb these, because just back from behind there is the village that the Peshmerga want to take back. The Kurds want to take back.
Do you know what's even more ridiculous is that guy is actually even there, because one of the reasons why they may not be attacking straight away is because he is there and it puts his life in danger. Why the hell have we got people like that? You know, surely we've got SAS people that can do that, not just ordinary reporters. I just
you had a bloke on the telly as well saying, if this is a laser-guided missile, you must have SAS on the floor to guide it in.
Hmm.
So what does that tell you? You might as well tell them where we bleeding well are.
Yeah.
When we're coming over, when we're going to bomb them, exactly what you said, what time?
Yeah.
It's totally
outrageous. I really am fed up. It's about time that we had our say. You know what I mean? If they put people beheading people on bleeding YouTube, this, that and the other, and you got poxy people on Facebook backing these people up, and I have my say and I'm kicked off, I'm telling you, it's giving me the All of this is giving me the right bleeding numb. It's about time we had our say in this, what we do. And my say is, hit them bleeding hard. Yes, you're going to have collateral damage. Sorry, but that's what happens when you're in a war.
Mm.
Yeah.
And with that, I'll let you go.
Thanks for your call. It's 21 minutes away from 1 o'clock. I was going to say that when they had this meeting last week and this vote, somebody came out and said, because they were trying to put both sides of the argument across, and some, I think it was a Labour guy that actually said, well, hang on a minute, we went into Iraq, they did what they had to do, and then they retrained the Iraqi army, gave them British arms, and then this terrorist bunch came in and took the arms off them. So now they're armed with our arms.
With our stuff, yeah.
And you look at that and you can't make this kind of stuff up, can you?
Well, I don't know if you saw it on the news this morning, but Susanna Reid, is it? I think was out in Afghanistan.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
And she was actually, there was some bombing or something going on just down the road. No, not at all.
I mean,
she's telling us that they're coming home, the troops, but then there's something happening now behind her. You know, I mean, what's happening? I don't know, it's wrong.
What I don't understand is, and as well, I get really, really cross with the way that the BBC and ITV, you know, especially in this case ITV, the lack of professionalism. You know, who do we send? We send Susanna Reid.
Yes.
Now, I keep thinking of Susanna Reid in Strictly Come Dancing.
That's right.
Last week in a low-cut dress. She's gorgeous. She's lovely.
Yeah.
Send someone that commands some kind of respect.
Yes, I couldn't believe it this morning when I saw her there.
Don't send someone that is, it sounds like they're reporting on an event. This is a serious event. This is serious stuff. Vicky Newnham says, I think there should be a media blackout now and block any more pictures of beheadings, etc.
Yep.
And stop giving these people the fame they crave. I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Mrs. J says, I think the UK should keep well clear. We have no right or need to get involved in this mass media hype setting people against each other. I personally think Cameron is a disgrace, and I tweeted him that yesterday. And I can see where you're coming from, but I think we're probably 25 years too late, possibly more than that. I think, you know, when we did what we did, we went over to Kuwait, and that kind of started the ball rolling.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we've got ourselves into a mess that we shouldn't have got ourselves into. But this is the message from Adam. Now, Adam is, I believe, he's about 16 or 17, and he obviously is very mature. And he's got a view on it. Now, you speak to 16-year-olds, most 16-year-olds, they haven't got a clue about what's going on.
And
in some ways, why would you want to have a clue? Mm-hmm. That's going to ruin your day, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, it's grown-up made. If I was 16, hang on, it's grown-ups having problems and arguments. Mm-hmm. You know, grow up. Adam says, then you don't understand the situation, Carmel. At the end of the day, we caused the rise of IS... and they keep calling them different things, ISIS. ISIL, running the old dictatorship, and the dictator of which was actually keeping these extremists at bay. We owe it to the citizens of Iraq to sort out the mess that we were partly to blame for causing. I mean, I can see what he's saying.
So can I.
And I can also see the other side as well. This is not something you can say, right, that's the answer, end of. It's not.
We don't know.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
I'm saddened that you think that way, Adam. I believe I understand the situation more than you realise. Do some research, otherwise we must agree to disagree. Now, I think, reading between the lines there, I think Carmel is kind of referring to, what do you actually believe? What do you actually... I mean, we can only believe what we see on the television.
Of course, what they put on YouTube and things, isn't
it? What we can only believe is what we read in the newspapers.
Yeah.
And sometimes they get that wrong. And why do they get that wrong?
Look how different this morning. I saw something in the newspapers. It was entirely different on the... of the internet there.
I think I've come to terms with why that was, but they do that. They do that to mislead you.
They do that to mislead you.
Adam says, I'm not sure if by asking me to research you are suggesting I am misinformed. Agree to disagree may be the way forward, as it's me who has to live the remainder of my life in a society that will be likely to be threatened by some sort of extremist movement for the duration. I welcome any motion that will try and cull the already, quite frankly, too powerful IS, whilst many more organisations will undoubtedly come along. I will also support culling them. And, you know, this is a 16, 17-year-old lad that is, you know, he's nailed his colours to the mast. But the one thing that I find that interesting is this young lad is a bit fed up with the way that the certain grown-ups have been controlling. And I know this has been going on for centuries, but it's far worse than it's ever been. And the atrocities seem to get worse and worse and worse. Now, this 16, 17-year-old lad is saying, well, hang on a minute, you grown-ups have done this. And they have. And that's the sad thing. He's now, and his family to come, he'll get married, have children. They've got to live in the world that we created.
Yeah.
Sadly, peaceful life. Life is flippantly cheap. Now, this is a great... I love this line. Life is flippantly cheap when it's not our own under threat. There's an election coming and the UK is broken. Okay? Read between the lines there as well. Again, we've decided to do, or MPs have decided to vote in a particular way, but how much do they actually know and how much of that is absolutely true? I would imagine they know more than we do. So they've taken it upon them to vote. But then we're only guessing, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
We're only guessing. Yeah. I mean, out of all of this, as a percentage, how much do you reckon we really know what is actually going on?
I don't think we know hardly anything what's going on. And I think there's stuff going on over there that we don't know about as well.
Do we know enough?
Well, I don't think we should be told too much.
Okay, well, there's lots of comments coming in, and what we'll do is we'll take a quick break and then we'll come back with more. Crikey, it's 12:45 already.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Go to www.whitefibre.com. While You Wait Services is a real Aladdin's Cave in Pyle Street, Newport. A truly local business that offers a fabulous, friendly service. Leather repairs, shoe repairs, key cutting for your car, house or shed. In fact, any kind of keys. They're also experts in engraving, house signs, shoe dyeing. They also do zip replacement for that coat you don't want to throw away. A shop for so many uses. While You Wait Services in Pyle Street, Newport. It's the most useful shop in town.
Westridge Golf Centre is the number one place on the Isle of Wight to get into golf. They have a fully covered floodlit golf range to practice your game with PGA qualified professionals on hand to provide tuition for complete beginners all the way through to the most advanced golfers. Check them out now on www.westridgegolfcentre.co.uk. Westridge Golf Centre in Brading Road, Ryde.
So how's it going on your traineeship? It's with CLC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. I've been there 3 months now and I love it.
But you aren't getting paid, are you?
No, but I do have free bus travel and I've just got £100 for reaching my halfway target.
Really? That's cool. Is the job hard?
No, everyone there's so cool. They treat me like the rest of the team and not like some snotty kid.
Sounds great. The training at CLC is only one day a week, isn't it? So I guess it's not too much hassle then.
Yeah, our training advisor is a great laugh and really helpful. We have touchscreen laptops too. And I finally passed my maths. Never thought I'd be able to do that.
Maybe I should give them a call. Could they help me get into hair and beauty?
Sure. CLC can find a traineeship in almost anything. And when you finish, you get an iPad mini. Why don't you call them now? It's 01983 533 993.
Fed up with the cost of motoring? Feel like a second-class citizen on the road? Do you want to be heard? Join the British Motorists Association today for just £15 a year and support our campaigns while saving money on all your motoring needs. Visit yourbma.com and join today.
And now it's a round I like to call Local or Live. Is this statement true or false? White Fibre have their engineers, their customer service department, their accounts department and all their staff based on the Isle of Wight.
There's no possible way that's true. They must have people dotted about all over the country. A foreign call centre. It's a lie.
It's absolutely true.
They're all local.
They are. And if you don't believe me, you can call them and see for yourself. It's a local number, 240-240.
White Fibre.
Click whitefibre.com.
White Fibre's half-price everything offer is still on. Superfast fibre optic broadband, just £17.40 per month for 6 months, including line rental. Call 240-240 or click whitefibre.com. Blisteringly fast broadband.
White Fibre.
Hi, I'm Kevin Wilson. Join me every Monday from 1 till 4 for my personal take on the news. Plus, a special guest, lots of info on the island's arts and entertainment scene. See you on Monday. Best day of the week.
This is Vectis Radio. Follow us on Twitter, Vectis Radio IOW.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. It's not only super fast, it's super unlimited too. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
Now, I just want to clear something up, Dame Shirley, because we were talking about that MP.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been misleading, and this is what the, you know, our media, our lovely media actually do. And the guy that's been outspoken on this is the guy that's been caught with his trousers down.
Yeah.
Is Brooks Newmark.
Yeah.
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 And the guy that's being outspoken, I got him mixed up because I thought it was him, but it's Mark Pritchard, the guy that's actually coming out and standing up for him. But it wasn't actually him that actually sent the picture to this young lady. Well, I say young. It was the other fella.
Brooks.
Yeah, Brooks.
Brooks, yeah.
So it's funny that both of them have been married, and this other guy's married and got five kids, but divorced 2013.
Right.
So I've got them mixed up. But that's the way that I was reading the story that was posted on, I think it was the Daily Express and the Telegraph, that I saw this. So it's kind of been, you know, I mean, they've gone around the houses a little bit, but, and they've mixed it up.
They have,
and
yes.
You're thinking, well, hang on a minute, why is he getting involved with someone else's dirty story? You know, because all you've done is just complicated it.
Well, it has done, yeah.
It was Brooks Newmark that was the one that was texting his picture.
That's right.
And they don't actually say in any of the press, any of the things, what he actually took a picture of.
Well, I've just read somewhere he had his paisley pyjamas on.
That's it, his paisley
pyjamas. That's all
pajamas.
They said, yeah.
I mean, you're guessing it's his manhood. The phone rings. Shall we take a call? Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, Macaroon. How the devil are you?
Are you calling from a toilet? It's a very echoey, echoey line.
Hang on a minute. I'll open the window.
Oh, no. Oh, that's better.
Oh, yeah, that's better. Yeah. A little bit of light in. Now then, we're talking about this MP that's been sending texts of himself. Is it entrapment?
Well, so, I mean, I sent a picture to Shirley the other day of myself, and she didn't even reply. I mean, let's be fair about this, right? Who, in their right mind, is going to send any kind of dodgy picture of himself to somebody they don't particularly know that well? Who's going to send a dodgy picture of himself to anybody anyway? You've got to be a brick short of a loan to want to do that in the first place. So, sympathy, nil.
I tell you, I agree with you, I really do, but I also see the other side of it, and I know, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's done wrong, and he deserves anything that comes home to roost. Mm. But there is, this does smack of entrapment, doesn't it?
Yeah,
from our lovely media.
What do you, if you think of journalists, particularly newspapers, what do you think of? You don't think about the guy sitting there with a typewriter with a pencil behind their ear these days, running out to give it to the editor, do you? You've got sleazy people angling around on street corners, watching the people who should be setting us an example, doing things wrong. And when they get caught out, you know, I mean, okay, if he sent it to his wife, which is questionable in any case, you would say, well, okay, maybe, possibly it was a little bit of a fantasy thing. But if he sent it to somebody he don't really know,
yeah.
I mean, he's obviously thought this is a nice bit of totty or something, and, you know, there's a chance of getting a leg over, sort of a la David Pugh, you know. then you can come out and start swearing and shouting at everybody all on Sunday when you've been caught with your trousers there. But, shouldn't be putting yourself in that position in the first place.
No, I agree.
Yeah,
you know, I agree. I mean, these are people that are supposed to be held up. They are supposed to be representing us. Now, would you want to be represented by a bloke that's getting his trousers down and flashing parts of his body to somebody you don't really know, when he's also got a wife, don't forget? I don't know if he's got any kids, but he probably has. You know, would you trust a bloke like that as your MP?
He's got 5 kids, apparently.
There you go.
He's married to Lucy, and he's got 5 kids. There's a picture of her here, and you know, I kind of, and this is going to sound so wrong, but I do have a little bit of sympathy for him.
What are you saying? Are you saying like, where the hell is St George?
Now you're putting words in my mouth.
Yeah, but even so, if the guy's obviously married.
Yeah.
He's got 5 kids.
Yeah.
So therefore, he's a parent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do the kids think when a person who's? I mean, I've not personally got something in this, but I know somebody who's done a very similar thing, and to be honest with you, it's made him a laughing stock, and that's the trouble with it. It makes you look stupid.
Yeah.
So why put yourself in that position in the first place? I mean, if my wife wanted to see my private bits, she's only got to knock on the bathroom door when I'm in the bath. You know what I mean? I don't need to send it to her in a blinking email or a photograph on a phone or something.
Yeah, but see, this is where I kind of, and this is going to sound wrong as well, I do have a little bit of sympathy, because obviously the times have changed and they've moved on, and it's because we can now. Not necessarily, hey, look, that don't give you the right to do, but because we can't, we can do these things. You know, you can take a picture of your backside and you can put it out there on cyberspace and it's there within 30 seconds.
Yeah,
it's because
we can. You can just take the photograph of your derriere and a photograph of the rest of it and anything else. I mean, I wouldn't like the thought of my daughters posting pictures of themselves. I wouldn't like the thought of my son posting pictures of himself to all and sundry. I mean, as you say, I know it goes on, but to me, that is something that you keep between the people who are most important to you. You don't want to be sharing it with the whole world, because if you put it out there, you know damn well that someone somewhere in the line is going to get their hands on it.
Yeah. But
not physically.
But the trouble is, we live in an age now where we're obsessed with knowing everything, aren't we?
Exactly, so don't give them the knowledge. I mean, I don't have a camera on my computer at home, right? I will not have a camera on my computer at home. I don't trust it. I wouldn't have Rumpy Pumpy in front of the television, because I don't trust whether the television can be watching me. You know, if you want to go out dogging, go out dogging. But don't send it and then expect everybody to feel sorry for you, because I don't feel sorry in any way, shape or form for him.
Yeah.
And I think whatever he's got coming to him comes to him, and he can, you know, if his wife divorces him, he'll have to flash a few more pictures around, won't he?
I completely agree with what you just said. It sort of brings us on to that other story last week where certain celebrities have been hacked and they've got nude pictures on their hard drives. Well, the simple thing is, don't have them on your hard drive. Don't have the picture taken.
The question, you know, the question has already been answered. Can you feel sorry for him? No.
No. You know, only when you see a picture of his wife.
I mean, I watched Strictly Come Whatever It Was the other night, and a girl come off the dance floor dancing around, and she might as well have had nothing on, because, you know, it was obviously pretty cold in there, judging from her attire.
Yeah, that was Ola, wasn't it?
No, not her.
Not Ola, no.
Whatever her name is, the famous singer, or whatever her name is.
I don't know which one you mean now.
Young girl. She was very appointed, put it that way.
Oh, the girl from The Saturdays. Frankie.
Anyway, the point is, right, if she's got virtually everything on show there, on what is possibly a prime-time television show, it doesn't set a very good example, does it?
No.
You know, if it's all right to get your bits out on the blinking ballroom dancing competition, there is no hope for anybody, is there?
Well, do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head here. We've got a picture of the said MP with his wife. Sorry, poor bloke. And there's a picture to the right of Beyoncé, who suffered an embarrassing on-stage wardrobe malfunction as blouse pops open to reveal bra during energetic concert. And you think, well, she's just had a picture and that picture's been taken by loads and loads of people. It's a similar kind of thing, a similar picture. The only thing is, he's taken a picture of his and sent it. She's had a picture of hers taken by somebody else. What's the difference?
Is that the same Beyoncé that has had a picture of herself taken walking down the stairs and her thighs are miraculously about half as thick as they should be? That's... You can see it because the staircase in the background looks cronky where they've doctored the picture. Would that be the same one, would it?
Well, it's the same Beyoncé, but it's not the same photo because obviously they're concentrating on cleavage here and not thigh.
So that it's the wardrobe malfunction a la Janet Jackson, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, sells records, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know what you need to do, don't you?
Have a cold shower now.